Thank you, Pastor Alex, for your prayers. I want to welcome you again to worship with us. Say hi to those of you who are worshiping at home via the live stream. Very glad that you're joining with us. If you are new to Church of the Redeemer, we are especially glad to welcome you here, whether you're new here in person or whether you are new to Church of the Redeemer on the live stream. We want to encourage you to reach out to us. Get a hold of me or Pastor Alex or Pastor Bob. Email us at info@redeemeratlanta.org. You can find that at the bottom of every page of our website. So we might know that you're here and how to pray for you and to connect with you. We promise we won't harass you. We promise that we won't hound you, but it'd be helpful for us and a joy for us to know that you're here and worshiping with us. Also, one last thing. As things begin to look better with COVID-19, I want to encourage you, if you RSVP for a Sunday and something happens and you're not going to be able to make it, I want to encourage you to make sure you update your RSVP through the link in the email to let us know that you'll not be here. We continue to be in a situation where we are full with regard to social distancing, and we want to make sure that those who are on the wait list know that places have opened up. So if at all possible, and I know that for a lot of you, especially those of you who have young children, sometimes things change and change quickly. And so we understand that sometimes you wake up on a Sunday morning and your day is different than you're going to plan. Or sometimes you're in the car on the way here and your day suddenly changes. So we do understand that. If you would turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 12 or in your worship guide to Daniel chapter 12. I referenced this in my pastor weekly, but I didn't specify who it was. I had lunch this week with Phil Drake, one of our elders, one of the kind of founding members of our church. And Phil's wife, Lynn, is dying. After 10, 15 years of very difficult health struggles, of ongoing pain, of daily pain for 15 years, Lynn is approaching the end of her life. And Phil was telling me how the children and grandchildren had been coming into town and how the last of them were coming into town this weekend. And they were having their meetings and appointments with Lynn. And Lynn had prepared and there were specific things that she wanted to talk to her children and grandchildren about. Knowing that her end is near, she was being very, very deliberate. That made me think even more about what we find in Daniel chapter 12. As I began to think based on my conversations with Phil, you know, if I knew that my end was coming, what would I do? How would I plan? And then looking at Daniel chapter 12 and thinking, well, dummy, you know your end is coming. Every one of us will die before Jesus returns or not. So how will we live? Knowing that our end is coming, how will we live? Daniel chapter 12 comes to the end of all times. It continues a vision and a prophecy that began in Daniel chapter 10. Last week we looked at how that prophecy focused on the time of the Antichrist. That even though that there are many antichrists throughout history, God's word tells us there will be one final antichrist. And we looked at that at the end of chapter 11 last week. The vision continues, and in chapter 12, after telling us that the antichrist will be defeated, chapter 12 tells us of the return of Jesus Christ, the one who will defeat the antichrist, the resurrection and the judgment, and also the time of suffering that will precede it. This morning, given that our time is short, we're going to work through the passage together rather than me just read it first. We're going to kind of go through it verse by verse, and then at the end of going through the passage, I'm going to give you five main points that we find in chapter 12 that kind of summarize the book of Daniel. So let's pray before we read God's word. God and Heavenly Father, would you speak to us this morning in your holy word? Lord, you gave these words to Daniel for your people until the end of time. You spoke them deliberately and purposefully. We confess and we acknowledge that some of your word is mysterious. There are aspects of your word that you tell us even today and this morning in Daniel chapter 12 that we won't be able to understand. But what we pray for this morning, Lord, is that you yourself would meet us. Lord, what we need this morning is much more than clarity about the future of the world. What we need this morning, Lord, is much more than insight about the suffering that is coming. Lord, what we need this morning is that for you to show us how we need to live. But above all else, what we need this morning, Lord, is you, your very self. So would you do as you promised and give us more than insight, more than information? Would you give us your incarnate presence that we might know that we have met with you? As we come to the Lord's Supper, we might come with eagerness and anticipation to be fed by the God who has met with us himself. As we sing, Jesus, I my cross have taken, that we might stand to sing that as those who sing that with the presence of Jesus. As we receive the benediction and as we leave here, we would do that as those who know that they have met with Jesus. In your name we pray this. Amen. We've been in Daniel for 21 weeks, I believe. And here we come to the end. And in Daniel chapter 12, it's a wonderful summary of all that's been in Daniel. Join with me. We're going to go through this section by section by section. Beginning in verse 1. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. This vision is being explained to Daniel by angels. And here it reminds Daniel that the end of time, when the Antichrist is about to be defeated, that Michael, the angel, the prince of angels, one of the princes of the angels, the archangel Michael, he has been given the role of protecting, defending, and fighting for God's people against the demonic angels. And at that time, at the end of time, it tells us that he will arise. Why? Let's keep going in verse 1. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never been since there was a nation till that time. Oh, we looked at this last week. It's speaking again that at the end of times, God's people, the church, will suffer and be persecuted as never before. It will be outrageous. There will be indignation about it. It will be so wrong. But they shall suffer. It will be a great tribulation. Jesus speaks of this time. We're going to look at that a little bit this morning in Matthew 24. And he says it will be a time of great apostasy. Many people who claim the name of Jesus Christ will turn away, will fall away, will apostatize. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that if God does not cut short that time, many more would have fallen away. Matthew 24, verse 9 says this about this apostasy. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is Jesus speaking about this time. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the gospel of this kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. at the end of verse 1, that last sentence. But at that time, your people will be delivered. Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. God tells us that those whose names are written in the book, what Revelation calls the book of life and Revelation chapter 20, that those will be saved, that those will endure. This is our hope and our confidence. It doesn't say the strong. It says those whose names are written in the book of life. Even though there is great suffering to come, even though there is great persecution, even though many will fall away from Jesus Christ, our hope is in our names being written in the book of life. Verse 2. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. This resurrection will be the judgment day. And on that judgment day, God will raise the dead. And it tells us some will be raised to everlasting life and others will be raised to shame and everlasting contempt. God's word speaks to us clearly of our eternal nature. The eternal nature of heaven and the restoration of all things and hell and judgment. There's a judgment day to come. And when Jesus returns, there will be a judgment. And there will only be two groups. Those who are raised in Jesus to everlasting life, having trusted in him. And those who are raised to everlasting shame and contempt in hell. Verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the day above. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And here we see this ever-present tension in the Word of God. It is not those who have been good enough and earned their salvation who will be raised to eternal life. But God's word does tell us it's the wise. It is those who have lived their life in accordance with God's word. God's word tells us if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, if we look to him for forgiveness and repentance, with repentance, that he is faithful. And that we will be forgiven, not because we made a good confession, not because we were sincere. We will be forgiven because of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And the Word of God makes clear that we are not saved by words alone. We're not saved by our words alone. Here Daniel chapter 12 tells us that it is those who seek to live their life based on the truth of the Bible that are wise and that our faithfulness is measured and shown in our actions and our deeds. Who in all of this will be praised and glorified above all else? Look again at verse 3. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky. Those who have followed Jesus Christ, who've been shamed and scorned by the world, who've been persecuted, God will glorify them and they will shine like stars. And then look at the next phrase. And those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars forever and ever. Those who share their faith in Jesus Christ with other people will shine above all else like stars forever. What is the most important thing in this world that you can do? It's to help lead other people to faith in Jesus Christ. What is the most valuable and significant thing that any human could ever do? That's to participate as a priest in this world who is a servant of God participating in someone coming to eternity through faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 4. God speaks directly to Daniel here. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. I hear God makes clear to Daniel and to us that he's bringing the prophecy of Daniel, the book of Daniel, to an end. In the Old Testament, God had made clear, and we see that in the history of God's people, how books of the Bible were canonized. And God is telling Daniel here, as he did to the other prophets, this is coming to the end of the book of Daniel. Write it down. It's to be sealed. It's never to be changed. It's to be transmitted with the utmost care, for this is the living word of God. And then he speaks to us about our world ever since. Look at the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. The word of God in Daniel was complete, and as the world goes on, we see people running around in confusion and lostness. And knowledge shall increase, but still confusion. Doesn't that speak of our time? When we think of the knowledge that we have about life, about science, about human nature, about the world around us, about the genome. When we think about how much knowledge has increased and yet how lost people are, how much confusion and isolation and loneliness and disruption there continues in our world despite all of our knowledge. Now, verse 5. That turns to a discussion amongst the angels. Look with me at verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, two other angels. So there's three now. One on this bank of the stream, and one on the bank, on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, one of the angels, who was above the water of the stream, how long shall it be till the end of these wonders? One of the angels here asks the question. That's a natural question. How long? Tell us when this is going to happen. And there's an answer, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the water of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand towards heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things will be finished. I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end of time. I love the honesty of the word of God. Here the angel asks the right question. You know, the question that we would ask, can you be a little more clear, God? Can you tell us? It looks like you're trying to tell us, so tell us when. And one of the angels who's speaking for God swears in the name of God this confusing answer. And so Daniel kind of follows up. Brave Daniel, desperate Daniel, to say kind of basically, okay, I don't know what the answer meant. That's time, time, and half a time. So, what shall be the outcome of these things, Lord? And God answers through the angel with an answer that's not an answer, but we'll come to it later. He says, go your way, Daniel. I don't know if you caught in the middle of this, in the middle of verse 7. And that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end. Again, this speaks of the shattering of the power of the holy people. Verse 10. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. Again, here it speaks to us that there will be this thing what we call apostasy, that those that there will be a falling away. And even though there is a falling away, those who are faithful and desperate and seeking Jesus Christ will be refined. They shall purify themselves. They shall repent of their sins. They shall repent of the idols that they trust in. All of their allegiances and hopes in this world will be purified as they are refined to trust only in Jesus. Many will fall away, God's word tells us, and others will be refined. And if we think about how does that happen? How can we square that with the word of God? All we have to do is look around at our world today. You've heard me say it before, you'll hear me say it again. 65% of adults in our country self-identify as followers of Jesus Christ, as Christians. 65%. Only 5 to 7% of adults in our country believe the core foundational beliefs of the Bible. Only 5 to 7%. So when we look at God's word and we hear about this apostasy, about many people turning away, we look at our own nation, where 65% of people will check a form and say, I am a Christian. But when you look at what they believe and how they live, only 5 to 7% will admit to believing the very core teachings of the Bible, like the virgin birth, like Jesus is the only way to salvation, like the Word of God is inspired. Not nuanced things, not minutia. And so we look at our own time. And it's fair for us to say is, are we living in the end times? I was thinking last week as I was going back through Daniel chapter 11, and as fantastical as the Antichrist and this king sounds, as hard as it might be to believe that some king or ruler will come along and everyone will be fooled into following the Antichrist. And I thought, what if the Word of God changed the word Antichrist and king to the spirit of prosperity? And we read about how the spirit of prosperity and success will lead many people away from God. And many of those who follow Jesus Christ and claim the name of Jesus Christ will turn away from faithfulness to Him to trust in prosperity and success. And I was like, man, that's not difficult to believe. Even as we look at our own country, I look at those who claim the name of Christ and churches and institutions that are preaching a formula for success and happiness in following Jesus Christ rather than the gospel of suffering and sacrifice. Verse 11. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,035 days. Numbers are symbolic. I don't know what these mean. At the very least, we can say that there will be a persecution. And that after the persecution, that persecution will come to an end. That the persecution will continue. And it will come to an end. Jesus speaks of this abomination and desolation in Matthew 24 that we just read from a few minutes ago. So 175 years after Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the temple that was prophesied in the book of Daniel 10 and 11, after that abomination, there will be another abomination that Jesus tells us. And I believe that's what Jesus speaks of in Matthew 24. This abomination here, it's talking about an abomination at the end times, different from the one of Antiochus Epiphanes in A and B.C. 175, because Jesus himself says in Matthew 24, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. So Jesus speaks of another one. There'll be a period of suffering. An abomination and desolation, but it will end. And then verse 13 to Daniel. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest, and you shall stand in your allotted place at the end of days. God speaks to faithful Daniel, who has suffered the words of everlasting life, and tells Daniel, you will stand before me at the end of your allotted days. Go your way, Daniel. go your way. Now, what does that mean? We saw that back in verse 9. When Daniel asked this question, look back at verse 9. He said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the end of time. God isn't saying to Daniel, go away alone. God isn't saying to Daniel, just kind of get out of my sight. And that's important for us to understand, because if someone says to us, go your way, we might think, okay, you don't want to have anything to do with me. But what here God is saying to Daniel is what Daniel's to continue what he's done since his very first day in exile. He's to continue to serve him in exile. Daniel was not a pastor. He was not even formally a missionary vocationally. Daniel worked in finance, in business, in tax, in management, in logistics, in a godless, pagan, sinful nation. And God called him to serve him faithfully in that nation, in his job, serving godless, idolatrous, pagan leaders. Daniel was to seek the good of the city, and to do that living in light of eternity. Daniel was to serve God as he was faithful in this world. What does that look like for us? We're going to do 5 main points in about 10 minutes, okay? First of all, as we've seen through the whole message, the whole book of Daniel, God is in control. How do we live in light of Daniel chapter 12 and in the book of Daniel? First of all, we remember that God is in control. And we remember that especially when it doesn't look like he's in control. God has told us in Daniel that he's sovereign over all things. Nations, rulers, even people who hate Christianity and have power. How do we live? We live as those who know that God is in control. Secondly, we learn from this that to follow Jesus Christ is to suffer and to sacrifice. We dismiss all of the soft prosperity gospel of people who try and convince us that following Jesus Christ will make your life go well, that will lead to success and worldly happiness, a great marriage, wonderful kids, and enough money. The book of Daniel in Daniel chapter 12 tells us that to follow Jesus Christ means to live a life of sacrifice and suffering and rejection in this world. To follow Jesus Christ means we will lose in this world by the world's measures. Thirdly, we are not alone. So first, God is in control. Secondly, to follow Jesus is to suffer and sacrifice. And third, we are not alone. Daniel chapter 12 speaks of the angel Michael, who battles for God's people. In Daniel chapter 10, when Daniel is weakened and struggling with the weight of these prophecies of suffering, when he's undone, God strengthens him through the angels, through touch and through his word, and reminds him that he is greatly loved. As we face this disappointing and hard, demoralizing word that to follow Jesus Christ means suffering and sacrifice in this world, Daniel reminds us that we are not alone, that God is with us. Fourthly, how shall we then live in light of eternity? We live in light of eternity. There's a judgment day coming. And there's only going to be two groups. Those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and their lives have been manifested by sacrificing to live wisely, and those who have not put their faith in Jesus Christ but have trusted in themselves and other things. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have not yet turned to him, if you're in doubt, go to his word. If you have confessed Jesus Christ, but your life is not marked by suffering and sacrifice and prioritizing the things of Jesus Christ, be afraid. If you know the right answers, but you don't know the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you can't think of the last time you served someone else for the sake of the gospel, if you can't think of the last time where you shared your faith in Jesus Christ or identified as a Christian, be afraid and turn to God and look to Him. Daniel 11 tells us that even though some will fall away, even some of the wise will fall away during this time of persecution, that some of them will turn back and be forgiven. We've seen this in the history of the church. The New Testament church struggled with it. What do you do with converts who, when they faced death, denied Jesus Christ and then came back to the church and repented and said, I'm sorry. And the early church worked to forgive those people. There is always forgiveness. Until the day of judgment, it is never too late. So turn to Him. We seek to live wisely how we spend our time. To live wisely is to live in light of eternity, which is foolishness in the eyes of the world. I'm glad that David shared this morning. In our busy world, to take a week of your time to go live in not five-star accommodation and to serve the Cherokee people in Cherokee, North Carolina seems like a stupid thing to do. I mean, an unwise use of your vacation. A whole week. But Jesus Christ calls us to do that which is insane in the eyes of the world, but wise in the light of eternity. What more could we do with our time? What better investment could we do with our time and our children's time than serve God and His kingdom in missions and mission trips or in our after-school tutoring program when it ever comes back? I remember when God first brought that to our attention, and Corey can testify to this, when we were approached to say, will you tutor children after school? And one of my responses was, yes, but who's going to come? 3 to 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, or Monday and Wednesday? That's like prime time. God calls us to give our time to Him. And that is wise. That is wise. Lastly, and I'm going to finish with this. It is too much for us. What does Daniel 12 teach us? I'm going to run through all 5 points. God is in control. To follow Jesus is suffering and sacrifice. Thirdly, that we are not alone. Fourthly, that we live in light of eternity. And fifthly, it's too much for us. One of the things I loved about Daniel is how often Daniel has written in his prophecy that he was undone, that he was demoralized, that the blood drained from his face, that he was upset and disturbed by God's word and by what was coming. It's too much for us. That is why many people will turn away. That's why many people have turned away. Church trend followers, people who follow statistics and trends and make predictions, in some of the conservative ones, predict at the end of COVID-19, churches will realize they've gone through a 20% transition. That means a 20% turnover. That some churches will realize, or the average churches will realize, that 20% of their people are gone. Maybe that's you this morning watching by live stream. Maybe you're almost gone. You're almost done with Christianity in the church. Maybe watching from the safety of your own home, not having to deal with the junk and the mess of people, has taken you a step away from Jesus Christ and His bride. To follow Jesus is too much. But the Word of God calls us to depend upon Him. God's Word acknowledges here in Daniel that He knows. It's too much for us. So if it feels like too much for you, then you understand the Word of God rightly. If you feel like it's too much for you, you might be tempted to think, I can't do it. I don't have it in me. There's something wrong with me. And if you're there, if you're demoralized, if it feels like it's too much for you, you're right. It is. And that's why we cling to Jesus Christ. That's what Daniel had to do. We cling to God. We repent of our worldliness. We repent of our self-reliance. We repent that we spend so much of our time on other things apart from His Word. We repent that sometimes Christians drive us crazy and we want to be left alone. And we trust in our forgiveness in Him. We turn to Him and we say, Jesus, fill me. Help me. Give me Your love, Your patience, Your kindness, Your goodness, Your faithfulness, Your gentleness, Your self-control, because I don't have it in me. And God answers with and gives us Himself. This is the good news of Daniel. If you are struggling to be faithful, if you're disappointed in your lack of obedience, if you look at yourself and realize that you are not strong enough, this is the good word of God. Trust in Jesus Christ. Cling to Him. Rest in Him. Know that He is enough as we seek to follow Him in this broken world. Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, give us Yourself. Fill us with Jesus in the Lord's Supper. Strengthen us with Your strength that we might follow You in this world that is difficult with so many temptations. Lift up our heads when we are demoralized and point us to Jesus, who is our Savior. Amen.